this thing working. I got Grace and I worked so hard to get the sounds all set, and then I've gone ahead and messed everything up again. So we'll have to get back after it later and get everything working. But I wanted to turn to the passage that we have in 1 Peter, and just something that is so I like Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. You have the insight from the man that was one of the inside crowd with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. They were the guys that had truly dedicated themselves most to Jesus' plan of the church. Didn't understand everything all the time, actually. Understood very little most of the time. But by faith, they hung in there. And it was neat that after the resurrection, all of these things that Jesus had said started to make sense to them. And they all, just except for John the Beloved, they all went to their death, serving that Jesus who had died for them. Amen? And so we're over in 1 Peter chapter 4. And as Jeanette read, that we ought not to be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you, as though this is something that's strange is happening. And I have found that for a lot of believers, especially those of us who have been believers for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, there's some seniority in this room here, all right? And sometimes I make the mistake of thinking that maybe my seniority in the kingdom should, earn me a little bit of favor. Okay? And God has to remind me this is not a union shop. All right? Promotions and jobs are not done according to seniority. Amen? Well, I tell you what, when I worked at Calvinator back in 72, January 7th, 1972 was my hire date. Never forget that. I hired in, and they hired 2,000 guys immediately after me. I had, in union terms, I had whiskers, okay? Because I had more seniority than half the guys at the plant. So that was some neat stuff. And so if I wanted to do something, I got tired of the job I was doing here, and I said, well, that looks like fun over there. I could simply take my seniority to the boss and say, hey, I want that guy's job. And he'd have to give it to me, all right? But that's not how it is in the kingdom. You don't take your seniority to Jesus and say, well, I want this to happen. And he says, yeah, we'll get right on that. Okay. Isn't going to happen. And so I've been in, what was I doing just the other day, yesterday? Went to Sam's Club to get some stuff for the reception afterwards. And as I was getting out of, I was standing outside and leaning into the car, and when I stood up, bumped my head on the door frame. Okay. Which unfortunately isn't all that uncommon. But I just, I just stopped in the parking lot. I looked up and said, do you think that maybe I could get a break down here? And here we go. The next morning, St. Peter's telling us, don't be surprised. And if that bump on your head was a fiery ordeal, you've got a lot of learning to do. You got a big surprise coming if that bump on your head is considered a fiery ordeal. All right? Nothing strange is happening to us. Everything that we are going through, the rest of the world is going through. You don't even have to be a believer for the things, that we're going through to happen. We're in a precarious time, and as a nation, we're divided. Some people think that the right decisions are being made, and others believe that the decisions that are being made are not the right decisions. And that's called politics. But there's one thing that we can agree on, and that is we need to pray. And so regardless of the name of the president that's sitting in the White House at the moment, if he's saying, you know, we need 9 hours of prayer. We need to go to prayer. Prayer is the only thing that's going to pull us out of this. Then, yeah, there's no politics in that. That is, God, we need your direction in this. And it's not an easy place for the world to be right now. And one wrong move at this point, and the whole world could be plunged into World War III. This world needs prayer. And this world is not going to be praying for itself. They don't know the power of prayer like we know the power of prayer. And so I would just like to encourage us. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and pray. Things are going to happen. That doesn't mean that the devil's... I can't tell you when I was in the rescue mission, the guys that would come in, oh, preacher, the devil's after me. The devil isn't after you. You just can't leave that alcohol alone. Okay? And or one lady, in the church, the demon of gluttony is after me. Those are things that we all deal with in the flesh. And it would be nice if we could, you know, blame it on some unseen demonic force out there somewhere. But we all deal with those things. And Peter says, don't be surprised. It's happening. We have no control over what is happening. We do have control over how we respond to what is happening. And when we find ourselves in a no-win situation, we're powerless here. I don't have Mr. Trump, President Trump's cell phone. I can't, after the service, give him a call. Hey, this is Pastor Dale. I just want to let you know that we think you ought to do this, that, and the other. And, well, Pastor Dale, I can't tell you how great a help that's been to me. And, right, okay. But we do have access to someone even greater. And that's the one who spoke all of this into existence. Amen. And so what happens then is Peter tries to give it, you know, hey, rejoice, because the world wasn't fair with Jesus either. Now, you talk about fair, okay, and God does not address the subject of fair. He has what is right, what is wrong, that's it, all right? Fairness is that the Son of God comes down to heaven to provide salvation for his creation, and his creation falls at his feet and I say, oh, Jesus, you're just the neatest thing that ever happened. Yes, we will serve you as our Lord and our King and all that good stuff. That's fair. But that's not what happened with Jesus. And that's not what happened with any of his followers either. All right? So, but rejoice in that we are sharing with Christ's suffering. The world didn't accept Jesus. Why do I desire to court the approval of this world? Amen? We all like to hear good job or attaboy or whatever, but what makes that count if it's from the right person? Amen. And if I'm trying to win the approval of world leaders or just the world in general, I have to remember, as Peter encourages us, that no, the world rejected Jesus. And Jesus warned. And he said that the follower is no better than the teacher. If the teacher is rejected, the follower, the student, can expect the same thing. And so he says, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you also may be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. And folks, Jesus is coming back soon. And the Bible says, every eye shall see him. Amen. How can that happen if he's coming back to the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem, which is on the other side of the world? How shall the whole world see him? Well, that couldn't have happened 100 years ago, could it? It couldn't have happened 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years when it was prophesied. But now with satellites and TV and all that good stuff, I believe that the world news organizations are going to be there for all of the conflagration that's going on in the Middle East, all that, and the cameras are there, and just when things hit a crescendo, then the heavens part, the trumpet sounds, and Jesus comes down, and all the cameras decide, you know what, I think I'm going to turn my camera on this thing right over here, what's going on, Jesus is coming back, and amen, we can celebrate. Amen. There isn't a person in this world that is in the middle of baking. What kind of a cake has to rise? An angel food cake? Are those hard to make? What's something that's hard to make? No. There's something that if you jar the oven, it'll make the cake go flat. Huh? A souffle. There isn't a lady in here that if you're making a souffle and the trumpet sounds, you're going to say, oh, darn. I was so excited about this souffle. I said woman in here. Okay. And so we're just assuming that the ladies in here are all believers. And so we're going to rejoice when that happens. Amen? And so we need to, and for that to happen, I tell you what, if you're one of these sad Nellies that goes through life and we're just always, you know, disappointed and all of that, we may not even recognize Jesus coming back if that's all we're, all this is just, you know, things are so bad and woe is me and all of that. But to know that when things are bad, then I am blessed because this is the same thing the world did to Jesus. And, oh, yeah, there's the trumpet sound. And then we truly can rejoice because here's Jesus. Amen? So anyhow, but that's not what I want to talk about. What did I want to talk about? Okay. And, okay, so here it is. Okay, humble yourselves before, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so he may exalt you in due time. Again, don't try to attain glory for yourself. Let God lift us up. Amen. A lot of people, and I've told young people, you're going out into the world, you've got to sell yourself. Every job out there is a sales job. It is. It's a manufacturing. Yeah, but you got to sell yourself to somebody to get that job. You got to say, I can do that job. And, and that may be true, but I would much rather hear a, well done, Dale. Good job. I want to know that I have the approval of the Father. Amen? Amen? Oh, dear. Okay, so, love to casting all of your care on him because he cares for you. All right, amen. Then, I like this. This is what he's, discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Why? Okay, and he tells us, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Okay. Now, I want to show you something. Because he just up here started talking about we do not fear, casting all of our cares, our fears on him because he cares for us. All right. If you are ever motivated out of fear, you're going to make the wrong choice. Amen. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, let me tell you something about male lions. Male lions very rarely join in the hunt. Their bodies aren't made for it. Now, if somebody, one of the ladies has decided to tackle a water buffalo, well, their bodies aren't made for it. And so the male lion will go over there and add his heft to bring this water buffalo down. But for the most part, for the most of the common food that the lions eat, the male lions are ill-suited for the hunt. And they know that. And the ladies know that. You know, just stay home and stay out of our way. You messed up the last three hunts. We don't need you. But this is what they will use the roaring lions for. These ladies are smart. And they'll choose a place of hiding. And then they'll, and on cue, the male lions will come up behind the herd and start roaring. And what is the response of the antelope? They're going to run away from the roar. And when they do, where do they run into? The ladies. Okay? They become lunch because they feared the roar of that lion. If they were smart, they would have run towards the lion because a male lion can't catch an antelope on his best day. Okay? But the little antelope doesn't know that. He hears the roaring lion and runs away right into the trap that was set for them. And so listen to this. Discipline yourselves and keep alert. This is no time for lazy Christians. God needs us to be sharp. Okay? And, you know, when we're training our new recruits, the proper response to, how are you doing today, cadet? The answer is not, fine, sir. Does anybody know what the answer is? Outstanding, sir. Okay, not excellent. There's one word that's even better than excellent. Outstanding. God needs his children to be outstanding because our adversary, the devil, is prowling around, roaring, seeking whom he may devour, okay? So he's trying to motivate us by fear to jump, to go in the wrong direction, so that we become somebody's lunch, all right? Never, ever let yourself be motivated by fear. Amen? The roaring lion, we use the old, useless male lions for that. Let them raise a ruckus or whatever. Let them think they're helping. It's shake and bake, mama, and I helped. Okay, we're going to let them think that they helped just a little bit. But that's not where the work gets done. It's the female lions. But the devil knows that we're going to jump with fear. It's time for us. And that Jesus said something that goes right hand in hand with this. He says that the church is going to become so great that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. All right? Now, aside from the one time when Samson took the city gates and used them to, as an offensive weapon, gates are defensive measures. You don't fight with gates. You hide behind gates because the enemy, your enemy, is after you, and so I now must hide behind the gates. The gates of hell are there to keep the people that made wrong choices in this world in. But Jesus said, they can't keep us out. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And so if I see the church as Jesus describes the church, it's kind of like you wander upon, oh, look at that, the gates of hell. All right. And here's the demons hiding behind it and whatever, and you hear the poor souls and hell. I kind of get the picture. And this is just, it's not scriptural, all right? I kind of get the picture of if it was Jesus that was there, he'd just kind of wander up to that gate and reach in and grab some poor soul out of hell and drag them out despite the protests of the devil. Amen? As a matter of fact, if we're to believe the Word of God, that's what he did for the 3 days he was dead. He made a visit to hell, whooped the devil in his own backyard, and took all of the Old Testament saints and led them out of the place of the departed dead into heaven. Amen? All right. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Devil is going to throw his best weapon at us, fear. All right? What kind of words elicit fear? Okay. Sickness, death, cancer. Okay. There's a lot that the devil knows how to use that'll get our attention. Amen. He's been pushing our buttons for thousands of years. He knows what works. We don't have any control over what he does, what he sends our way. Death, suffering, cancer. But we have full authority over how we respond. You're not going to get me to jump in the wrong direction, Satan. It's not going to work. That roaring lion is not going to frighten me into running away and falling into your trap. Those words don't work on me. Casting all of my cares on him, all of my fears, all of my concerns, all of my worries, all the things that occupy my thoughts, all of these things, I put them all on him, casting all my fears on him, because he cares so much for us. Amen? All right, so resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters through the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This week, you're going to hear a lion roar. It's going to be a word. I don't know what that word is. But the devil is going to try to get you to move out of God's grace, motivated by fear, fall into the devil's trap. So you're going to hear a roaring lion this week. But you have to, we just read about it, discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. And when we hear that lion roar, we know that he is an empty threat. That if we do what he's trying to get us to do, that it's only a trick. Amen? You know, when I was, 11th grade, 10th grade, something like that, I was a babysitter for a couple of little boys, sleep-in babysitter. I thought that I knew how to get into trouble. These kids were masters at it, I tell you what. Anyhow, they had this police dog. And so the first day I'm there and I'm cooking breakfast for the guys, and this German Shepherd sitting on the other side of the screen door growling at me. And I'm saying, that screen door is not going to hold that 125-pound dog back. If he wants to bit it, he wants to take a bite out of me, there's not a whole lot I can do, all right? And so here I am, and I'm just concerned, you know, keeping things like cast iron skillets in my hand just to make sure if anything happens I have some form of defense. But it was the 4th of July weekend, and so we're out in the backyard, and everybody's got fireworks, they're firing off fireworks, and I turn around and I say, hey, what happened to the dog? By then, we've made up and we're big buddies and all that good stuff. And we can't find the dog. It's not in the backyard. Did he get loose? Did he jump over the fence? Where is he? We're searching through the house. And I go and I look under my bed in the guest room, and here's this dog under the bed on the far side, just quivering. He's scared to death of fireworks. Okay? And here I am thinking that this great big bad dog is going to eat me. And all I had to do was just clap my hands real loud and he would go, you know, zipping under the bed looking for a place to hide. That's it. You'll hear the lion. Keep in mind it's an empty thread. Whatever that is, and the first effect it's going to have on you is your heart's going to sing. You will receive word about somebody's health. You will receive word about something or whatever is going on. Whatever, physiologically, your heart's going to sing. That's okay. You didn't have any control over that. But now your spirit man has to kick in and say, no, devil, I'm not jumping at that. I'm not going to jump. If this is what you're saying is true, then I'm going to take it to the Father. I'm going to pray about it, and we're going to walk in victory, but I will not be motivated by a spirit of fear. Matter of fact, that's the only emotion in the Word of God that is called a spirit. It's a spiritual entity. There's not a spirit of love. There's not a spirit, I don't think there's a spirit of hatred. Okay? That's just a choice that we make in our own hearts. But there is a spirit of fear. And God doesn't send us a spirit of fear. Amen? So keep that in mind. We will not be motivated by that. And whatever we hear about anything going on, friends, family, relatives, the end of the world. Oh, what did that guy do this time? No, we're all going to die. No, we're not. The world goes on, and you're not going to steal my joy. Devil, you're not going to steal my peace. Amen? I'm a child of God. I'm washed in the blood. My sins are forgiven, and devil, you can't do a thing about it. All you can do is try to scare me into doing something stupid, and I've done enough of that in my past. I'm not doing it anymore. Amen? Well, Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Father God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. Lord God, I pray that when we hear the roaring lion, we'll just kind of smile to ourselves and maybe hunker down a little bit more in our covers and say, oh, another toothless wonder out there trying to make his presence known, and that boy couldn't run an antelope down if it only had three legs. Father God, we're not going to jump at the devil's lion. We're going to use it as a motivation to just pray all the harder. Father, help us to stand in wicked times. Help us to stand for righteousness when the world says what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. Lord God, they've just changed all the names up. The nomenclature has changed, and what we used to think was good and wholesome, and now they're saying it's bad. Lord God, we just trust in you. And during these times, help us to stand firm. And Lord, what even the worst that the devil can throw at us can only hurt for a while. But your victory, your blessings, your life in heaven with Jesus is eternal. And so we praise your precious name. In his name we do pray. Amen. Okay. So, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.